Good morning, church. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. Who's excited to be in the presence of God? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm excited to be here with you this morning. I'm excited to bring a message. My name's Joel Libramento. I'm an associate pastor here at the River Church. And we are continuing in a series called Made for More. How many of you guys believe you're made for more? Amen. Amen. And so I'm really excited about today's message. It's about discovering your purpose. And part of the reason I'm excited about preaching this message is this is the reason I became a Christian. I was somebody who lacked purpose, who didn't understand why I was here. And so I heard a message similar to this, and I'm praying that when you hear this message today, that it speaks to you the same way that it spoke to me. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into it, all right? I got a question for you real quick. Before I get into that, if you're going to follow along, you can follow in my notes if you text the number that Billy will put up on the screen for our notes. I want you to follow along with me today. I got a question for you. I'm going to open it up. How many of you guys have ever had a pair of Nike shoes? All right, that's a lot of hands. How many of you guys have ever seen a pair of Nike shoes? This should be everybody. Okay, good, good, good. The first crowd was a little slim. I was a little worried. Right. Did you know that the first Nike shoe was created by a guy named Bill Bowerman? And he created the Nike shoe with a purpose to be the elite shoe for athletes. Okay? Did you know that you could try to use a Nike shoe for other purposes? For instance, you could try to use a Nike shoe as a phone. It ain't gonna work that good, but you can try to use a Nike shoe as a phone. You could also try to use a Nike shoe as a cup. Some of y'all are like, that's disgusting. Guys, that is DFW's own Post Malone. He went to Grapevine High School. That's your people. You could also You could try and use a Nike shoe to power your bicycle. Some of y'all are like, I want to try that. I might be building that in my garage this week. You could also do what Pastor Mike does and try to use a phone as a hat. You can try to use a Nike shoe for a lot of different things, but when a Nike shoe aligns itself with its purpose, something amazing happens. Like this happened in 1987. Y'all remember Michael Jordan? Who likes Michael Jordan? Yeah, Michael Jordan, from the free throw line, in a pair of Nike shoes, dunks it, wins the competition, right? When a Nike shoe aligns itself with its purpose, amazing things can happen, right? And it's interesting. You know, I'll just add this. A Nike shoe doesn't determine its purpose. Who determined the purpose of the Nike shoe? The maker did, the manufacturer. No product determines its own purpose. The manufacturer determines its own purpose. Y'all getting an idea where I'm going? Hey, I am ready to preach this message this morning. I am excited about this message. And I'll be honest to you right now, we're about to make the devil real mad. We're about to make him mad. And that shouldn't scare you, because the battle's already been won. All right? Listen, everybody in here, at some point, if you haven't asked this question, you will ask this question. And you may ask it multiple times over the span of your lifetime. You may ask the question, why am I here? Why am I here? Some of you may have asked that question this week. And you know what? You're going to hear two voices. You're going to hear two answers. They're going to be revealed to you. One is a lie, and one is the truth. What do you mean? If you're like me and you've asked the question, why am I here? Typically, the first voice that you hear is the voice of the enemy, which is a lie that says you're worthless. There's no reason that you're here. That you have no purpose in this life. How many of you guys have ever heard that before? Yeah. Yeah. That is the lie of the enemy. And part of the reason I feel like we're going to make the devil mad is we're exposing his lies. And oftentimes we believe that lie. I don't know who that's for. But maybe there's somebody in this room who last night you were believing that lie. I don't have a purpose. I'm not here for any reason. I'm worthless. People around me don't care for me. Again, a lie. that it doesn't matter that I exist or that I breathe. That is a lie. That is what the enemy does, and we entertain those thoughts. And sometimes we like to believe it. And you know oftentimes what that leads to, where individuals will take their own lives because they believe that they are worthless, and that is a lie. The other voice that you will hear is the voice of truth. It is the voice of God. That you, my friends, sitting right here, I'm talking to every one of you, you have a purpose. You were born for a purpose. The manufacturer, the creator, created you for a purpose. You don't determine what that purpose is. He determines that. The fact that you are sitting here with breath in your lungs was intentional, designed by God. You are here, and we love you. You are loved. I don't know. Maybe you've been believing that lie that you don't matter. You're not cared for. I may not know you, but I love you, and I believe that you're here for a purpose. The Bible teaches that you are here for a purpose. In fact, everybody say, I have purpose. I'm praying you believe that. I'm praying you believe that. We are created for His purpose. And we have a Maker who has determined what that purpose is and why He has made us. Nothing exists for itself. A car does not exist for itself. The chair you're sitting in does not exist, was not created for itself. All right? The world that we live in was not created for itself. Self, right? A building's not constructed for itself. You do not exist for yourself. In fact, there is a purpose for everything that has been created. I'll Venmo you $10. If this week you can find me on social media, email me at joel@theriverdfw.com. Email me and tell me something that has ever been created in this world that has no purpose. Good luck. And you better come with a good reason. You better come with a good reason. Someone's like, mosquitoes, they got no purpose. I'm telling you, it's the food chain. There are things that eat those things. God bless them. I'm just saying, you better come with a reason before you get that 10-piece, all right? Everything has a reason. Everything was created with a purpose. God created you for Himself. You are not here for you. You are here for God. You are here to give Him pleasure and to do that through a lifestyle of worship and faithful service. He is pleased with you. He is pleased with you. He loves you. And you were made to worship God and bring pleasure to Him. You have an assignment on this earth that is more than just taking care of you, you and your needs. Hear that. Hear that. All right? I'm going to read a Bible verse, and I'm going to read it in the King James Version. Y'all watch out now. Watch out. We don't even have that in the computer. We got to get it. Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. You were created for God's pleasure. He is pleased with you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. Amen. Peter 2:9 says this, But you are a chosen people. Some translations say you are a chosen race, the human race. You are chosen, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. You belong to Him. You are God's special possession. If last night you were doubting whether you needed to be here or you have no purpose, listen, you are God's special possession. I'm preaching that and praying that over you right now, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into the wonderful light. How many of you guys want to continue to live in darkness? Not me. I want to live in that marvelous light. I've been in the darkness. I've tasted that. I don't want that. Let's live in the marvelous light. Amen? I got three things I want to share with you today. And I'm breaking them down like this. Billy, I got a little graphic for you guys. I want to show you up on the screen here. I'm going to break down the three points today in this way. The foundational point being you are created for worship. Number two, you are called by God. And three, you've been given a craft to be used for God. All right, so let's get into it. Number one, if you're taking notes, you're following along, you were created to worship. Isaiah 43:21, the people I formed for myself, possessive myself, God created you for Himself, will declare my praise. Amen. So we were created to worship. Now, when we think of worship, A lot of times we think of what just went down up here. We think of instruments. We think of the way we sing. We lift our hands. For some of y'all from the old school, where y'all, we have people running around the church, jumping pews, or maybe you sat really still and you sang kind of like a monk. You know, I don't know what worship looked like to you, but we've all come from different places and seen different things, right? And that's a part of worship. That's a part of worship. But mainly, worship is really about our heart's posture before God. It's really about our heart before Him. It's worship is defined as like bowing, is like laying down before God, kneeling before God, right? And it's about your heart's posture before God, all right? So what do you adore? What do you pay homage to? What does your heart bow to, right? Check out this verse, Isaiah 29:13. The Lord says, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules that they have been taught." Okay, so you see right there that in worship, you can actually worship with your physical body, but you can also not worship Him with your heart, or you can worship Him with your heart. So you understand, worship is much more than just what we do physically. It's about where our heart is before God. It's are we kneeling? Are we bowing? Are we worshiping Him with who we are in our heart? And humans, unfortunately, will worship something or someone, even if it's not the living God. That's a fact. That's a fact. And we give the people in the scriptures, we read those scriptures in the Old Testament where people were like worshiping like these idols made out of wood and rock, stuff like that. And we laugh at them like, that was so dumb. Why would y'all do that? You know that's a common practice. It's still a common practice. You leave the United States and you go to other countries and people are worshiping gods, little g, that are made of wood and stone and gold and silver. That's not that far away. Okay? And in America, we may not go to temples, and you may not see people going to temples and worshiping these idols or these things made of stone, rock, things like that. But we do worship our own gods, little g. One, and I'm not up here to start stepping on toes or anything like that, but when I think of the gods that we serve that is not the God of the Bible, the first one that comes to my mind is the God of how we feel. The God of how we feel. Hey, you do you. You do you. Hey, if you feel that way, that must be true for you. And that's, hey, live your truth, right? And not only that, live your truth, but your actions are justified. You know what? Because that's true for you. I'm just saying, we live in a culture that our how we feel can be our God, right? Our little g, our God. And that can be the catalyst for a lot of different things, all right? It manifests itself in a lot of different ways when we live by how we feel, when we bow to how we feel, when we pay homage to how we feel above really loving God and chasing Him and bowing to Him. You understand, when we bow to how we feel, you can kind of mentally, you can start to look at all the different avenues and lanes and roads you can go down, right? Because our feelings are wild, right? Our feelings can be liars at times, right? We are naturally selfish creatures too, so that's the biggest problem, is when we bow to how we feel, we're oftentimes going to just look out for our own selves. We're going to go on our journey, and we are going to take care of ourselves. And I know we got counselors and people in the room, so hear me. I'm not saying don't take care of yourself. Don't take care of your physical body, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if your entire life you are kneeling to how you feel, and your journey, your life's journey is all about you, oftentimes you're going to disregard and you're going to hurt the people around you. I see it over and over and over again. I'm guilty of it. It happens. And so you can see how we kneel to other gods. I'm not going to be another preacher that gets up here and talks about the God of money. But I am real quick. Look, I'm not saying money's bad. I'm not saying that it's evil. I am just saying that when you kneel to the pursuit of money and you adore and you worship and you love that rather than kneeling and adoring and loving God, right, it can lead to other things. It can be a God, little g, right? can lead you down a dark path. It was funny. And you think, like, can money really be a god? I was in the car a couple weeks ago with a coworker. He's a friend of mine at work, and he's Hindu. And I was just talking about different things, and I was just saying, you know, in America, we worship the god of money. And he was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, we do in India, too. He's like, there's the god of money. We go and worship him, you know. I'm like, see? I was like, I told you. I was like, he is a god, little g. People do worship the god of money. You see what I'm saying? It's not that far off. It's not that far off. Whatever your heart adores, focuses on, pays homage to, kneels before, is your god. It could be the god of your career. It could be the god of your own passion. I knew a guy who put his Christian rap career above God and his family. That doesn't make any sense, but it happens. You can put your own passion above worshiping God, the Creator. It could be the god of your own political party. Watch out now. It could be addiction. It could be anything. We could go down a long list, and your heart can kneel before those things rather than kneeling before God. And I'll tell you, you will end up in a dark place. Why? Because the scripture says you can't serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. You were made to worship. And the difference between all those little g's and the God that we serve, the God of the Bible, is that you can bestow your adoration and you can love those little g gods, but you know what? They can't love you back. They can't love you back. But God, the God of the Bible, the God that we're talking about today, He loved you before you were even born. Before the foundations of the world was laid, Christ had died, the Lamb was slain. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loves you before you even knew it. Amen? That's the difference. That's the difference. And when we decide to follow Jesus and we decide to bow and kneel before a living God, amazing things happen. Our purpose aligns with Him, and amazing things happen. We can live a life of fulfillment, a life of love, a life of excitement, compassion. There are so many things that happen when we follow Jesus. And He's saying, come home. He's saying, worship me. He's saying, come and find me. Amen? It starts with giving your life to Jesus. If you're in here and you've never given your life to Christ, you've never said, you know what, I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to give my life to you. That's where it starts. And after that, it's about meeting together like this. It starts by slowing down, being grateful. It's about reading your Bible, focusing your attention and the posture of your heart on your Maker. You were made to worship. You were made for His purposes. Amen? Point number two, you are called by God. You have been called by God. After you hear me say, you've been made to worship, the next logical question is, how should I be worshiping God? Okay, I know that I'm made to worship. Thank you. Now, how should I be worshiping God, right? The answer is through your calling. Everybody has a calling. Everyone say, I am called. I am called. All right, you are called by God. And instead of you hearing some man up here telling you his ideas and thoughts, I really would rather you hear the scripture. I'd rather you hear from the Bible about your calling, all right? And when you hear these words, you better let it sink in. Eat it up, digest it, because this is the real stuff right here. All right, there's three things, all right? When our purpose is to worship God, God calls us to worship Him in three main ways, okay? Three main ways. And the first one is, if you're taking notes, live holy, all right? You were created to worship, all right? How do I worship God? I worship Him through my calling, and you are called to live holy. Listen to this verse, 2 Timothy 1, 9 through 10. He has saved us and called us to a holy life. Okay, that's it. He saved us and called us. He calls you to a holy life. Not because of anything we've done, but because of His own purpose and His own grace. Hebrews 3, 1 says this, therefore, holy brothers and sisters, who share in a heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus. What's it look like to live holy? Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Ponder Him. Think about Him. Worship Him. Turn your heart. Part of that adoration and kneeling before God is thinking about Him and pondering and giving your life to Him in that way. Micah 6:8 says this, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you?" Meaning, what has he called you to do? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God. Again, three elements that are about living a holy life, set apart. I know holiness in your head, if you've been in the church, you've been in America for a while, holiness, it looks like buns and skirts and things like this. But God is saying, look, holiness is about what's happening in here, okay? It's about what's going on in here. 1 Corinthians 7:17 says, "Nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God called them. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches." Paul said, this is the rule. Look, he says this, "Live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned you." The problem with us is we look at our purpose as something that's coming on the horizon. We go, you know what? When I get there, I'm going to live holy. I'm going to live out God's purpose. That's for me up there, right? And this scripture says, live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned you in. What kind of situations are you in right now? I think we look at what's on the horizon and we go, that's when I'm going to be living out my calling. That's my purpose right there. But maybe your purpose is in a situation God's got you in right now. Maybe he wants you to live holy right now. Not when you get to what you think your purpose is. He wants you right here. And some of us are in some situations. I just like the word there, situation. Because I feel like I'm in a situation. I feel like we're all in some situations. And God's saying, live as a believer in that situation. That's your calling. That's your calling. The second thing. I numbered these wrong in my notes. I was like, the fifth thing. No, the second thing is, one, live holy. The second thing is love others. Love others. You are called to love other people. Ephesians 4:1-6. "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." In love. He says it's your calling to love each other, to bear with one another. That is your calling. Some of y'all are like, man, this is the hardest one for some of us, right? People, I don't even like people. I hate people. Philippians 2:3-4. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." You see the contrast? Hey, you do you. You focus on your journey. You focus on you and do what's right for you. And then you hear the scripture go, yo, don't value yourself above anybody else. You see kind of the contradiction there? It's kind of crazy, the different things we hear in this life and the different things that we tend to believe, right? It's wild. 1 Peter 4:10-11 said, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve yourself." No. To serve others. You've been given a gift, and God is saying your calling is to use those gifts to serve other people. All right, the third point. So one, God is calling you. Again, not your neighbor. I know you're sitting over here like, yeah, this God's calling you right now. You better be living holy. I'm living holy. You living holy. You need to love people. You didn't love me on the way to church this morning. You gotta watch out. The third thing is to point people to Jesus. Live holy, love other people, and point people to Jesus. This is a calling. Mark 16:15 says, "He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." That was Jesus that said that. Okay, this is in Mark. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." This is your calling. Now, this is just my opinion. I value this right here. Somebody getting up and preaching the gospel. I do this because I value this, and I think it's something that I am called to do. But I don't think preaching the gospel to all creation always looks just like this, okay? I'm not saying this needs to go away. I'm saying this needs to stay. But I'm also saying that God's gifted you to preach the gospel in ways that don't look like this, okay? I just want to say that real quick. So when you say go into all the world and preach the gospel, I don't want you to be like, well, I'm not much of a preacher. I'm nervous in front of people. He's not saying go out there and do this everywhere all the time.
He's saying, use the gifts that you have to preach the gospel, okay? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you. Again, your calling is for other people. It's to point people to Jesus. Amen? That is a part of your calling. Look, a Nike shoe doesn't determine its purpose. Its manufacturer does. You hear me? Your purpose is not determined by you. It's determined by your maker. And your maker, we're reading about what your maker said. You are called to do these things. Live a holy life. Love other people. God, if the church would just love people, right? Love people and point people to Jesus. Amen? That is your calling. Who's all this for you? Or who is all this for? It's for you, right? It's for you. It's not for your neighbor. Not for your neighbor. All right, point number three. Point number three. So we've talked about you were created to worship, right? How do I worship? Through your calling, okay? So the next natural question for you to be asking is, how should I worship God and live out the calling God has for me, right? And the answer is through your abilities, your gifts, your talents, and your crafts. All right, your craft. 1 Peter 4:10, we just read this a second ago. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received. Okay? You have received. Every time we teach Deeper, which is our membership class at the church, we ask them the third week for you to take a gifts test. And never have we gotten to the end of that test and somehow somebody got a zero or does not apply. You know what I'm saying? Everybody in here has been given a gift. The Bible says that. And each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Amen? Amen. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever tripped before? You ever tripped on something? Raise your hand. Yeah? Okay, some of y'all are like, I ain't never tripped. I ain't tripping. Has anybody ever saved you from tripping? Like, whoa, you about to trip on that. And you're like, oh my gosh, thank you. Oh my, and you felt so good, right? Because you were like about to be so embarrassed. It was going to be bad, right? You're going to injure yourself. Look, there are three big things that will trip you up, and I'm telling you, don't trip. There are three big things that will trip you up when you think about your craft, the gifts that you've been given, and how to use them for God. And I want to expose those because one of them, well, they're all lies of the enemy, but they're like half-truths that if the enemy can get you to believe, then he's going to demobilize you. You're just not going to want to serve God with your gifts, okay? The first one is this. This is the biggest tripping hazard, okay? It's in Christianity. The devil loves it when we define our purpose by the things we do rather than how God made us. He would rather us define our purpose by the things we do rather than how God made us. Like, think about that for a minute, all right? And the reason I know this is a lie of the enemy is because I'm thinking about all those guys I went to school with who were great athletes. I mean, I was an athlete, but I wouldn't say I was great. But like they were in high school in the youth group and they said, you know, my purpose is to worship God and to bring God glory through my athleticism, through being an athlete. And they went through high school and they got into college and they started playing sports and then they got injured. Or they didn't go pro, right? Have you guys, anybody ever known someone like that? Typically, what I've seen is they go through a crisis of faith in that moment. You want to know why? Because they thought their purpose was wrapped up in what they did rather than how they were made. Like, you can worship God in whatever you do, in whatever craft you do, but if the enemy can get you believing that your purpose is wrapped up in the things you do, when you fail, because we all do, I failed you, God. We feel like we failed God. We feel like our purpose is gone. We feel like it's over, right? If the enemy can get you thinking that your purpose is wrapped up in what you do, in your craft, you will have a crisis of faith. Because either one, sometimes you fail in your craft, or sometimes your craft changes over time. Sometimes it changes. What you did when you were younger, right? What you found purpose in, sometimes that changes. Like, I used to do this a lot. I'd go and preach at camps and all that kind of stuff. I ain't got no camps calling me. Does that mean I need to be at the house like, man, God, I'm failing in my purpose? Nah, man. Nah, I think that God has new purposes for me. Ultimately, my purpose is to worship God. So in whatever I do, I can worship Him. My purpose is not wrapped up in what I do, my craft. Amen. You guys see, that's a pitfall. That's a lie. That's something that the enemy will get into your head, and you'll feel like you're failing God because you're not doing what God said for you to do when you were 14, and now you're like, I've lost it. That's not true. The second thing that will trip you up is when we chase them goosebumps and we miss the purpose He has for us right now. Now, I said at the very beginning, when a Nike shoe aligns itself with this purpose, amazing things happen. When you align yourself with your purpose, which is to worship God, and you walk and you use your crafts, I'm telling you, there will be some really awesome moments. You will get goosebumps. It's the moments that you look back on and you go, I know that I was created in all of history, in all of time, I was created to be there for that person in that moment, and it gave you goosebumps to think about. Have you guys ever had that experience where you would go, I was supposed to be there. God had me there for this reason, for this purpose. I remember last Christmas, our church did this thing where we bought a bunch of gifts for folks who needed gifts for Christmas, and it was led by Darren Mercedes. It was awesome. And so I look like Santa Claus with a trash bag on my back full of gifts. And why we put them in trash bags, we're going to change that next year. But we rolled up in this lady's house and we set them down, right? And in an instant, she just started crying. And she turned and she grabbed Mercedes around the neck, started hugging her. I don't know if Mercedes felt this way, but I just remember in that moment, as an outsider looking in, going, she wasn't going to grab my neck. She wasn't hugging me. She turned and grabbed Mercedes' neck. She started hugging her. Mercedes was crying with her, telling her that God loves her, that we love her. And I just remember getting goosebumps thinking, yo, this is Mercedes. I haven't known Mercedes her whole life, but this is Mercedes living out her purpose. She's made to worship, and she's worshiping by loving these people. And I got to be there for that moment. That was a powerful moment. And I got goosebumps, right? And so praise God that those moments happen. Amen? That's going to happen for you. You're going to have those moments, but you won't have them all the time. So you can't tell me that this past week when I had to correct my son and discipline him when he was disrespecting my wife, that's tough. I didn't get them goosebumps. But when I look at that moment, I go, that was exactly where I needed to be. That's where I needed to be. If I wasn't there, who was going to do that? I needed to be there. God made me His father so that I could sit there and have that conversation with Him and love Him in that moment. If we chase the goosebumps, though, we'll miss all of those moments. We'll miss all of those things that God is using you and your crafts to do right here, right now. So that's a second pitfall. That's a second thing that'll trip you up. And the third thing is, we think God only calls certain people with certain gifts. That's the other one. We think God only calls the pastors, the missionaries, the youth leaders to fulfill His purpose, or that we've got to fit in some sort of ministry template or mold to live out God's purpose, which isn't true. God uses fishermen. God uses carpenters. God uses tent makers. He uses former tax collectors. He uses shepherds. He uses tattoo artists. He uses construction workers. He uses electricians, doctors, nurses, project managers, event planners, book writers, mothers, fathers, counselors, business owners, e-commerce aficionados, designers, teachers, tech guys, networkers, softball players, gardeners, musicians, mechanics. You see, God can use whatever He wants to use. And if you have a craft and a skill, God can use that. You don't have to be this pastor or missionary. You don't have to be all that. God can use you and your craft right where you are right now. And in fact, He wants you to. He calls you to it. That's what you're called to do. All right? How do you know? 1 Corinthians 10:31. There's no getting around it, guys. I'm sorry. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. It's done. Whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. What are y'all doing? Y'all going to Popeyes after this? Do it for the glory of God. Where are you going? What are you doing? Right? If God's called you to be a student, you're a student right now. Do it for the glory of God. Do it with everything you got. That's the situation God has you, and that's where your purpose is right now. Amen? Amen. All right, this is it. I'm landing the plane. This is my outro. All right? He said, yeah, right. Listen to this. I changed this quote up a little bit. God doesn't always call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He doesn't always, because he will call people who have talents and gifts. He's going to call people. But most of the time, he's going to qualify the called. Amen? In Exodus, and I was talking to my mom this week. My mom is a very wise individual. And I was sharing with her my message, what I was going to preach. And she told me about a scripture verse in the Old Testament that I hadn't read in a very long time. And God used it to speak to me, and I want to share it with you, okay? Especially for those of you sitting there going, I ain't got no skills. I ain't got no gifts. Y'all get ready for this. Exodus 36:2. All right, in this passage, Moses has been given and is giving directions about how to build the tabernacle in the Ark of the Covenant. Big deal, all right? Big deal. Exodus 36:2 says this, then Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every gifted artisan whose heart the Lord had put in wisdom and everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work. So he said, go get the artisans with skills, but then get the everybody whose heart is stirred. Man, I'll tell you right now, here at the River Church, for volunteers, give me five people whose heart stirred for God over five artisans. I'm going to tell you, some incredible things will happen. Incredible things will happen. All right? You ain't got to be this skilled craftsman to serve God. If you're stirred in your heart, God's put something in there, you want to serve him, but you don't know what that is, that's okay. He's still calling you. In that passage, some translations say willingness. Willingness. It's just who was willing? Who was ready to serve God? Who felt excited? Who wanted to serve God in some way? That's what the passage says. So what is it that excites you? God can use that. Maybe your purpose falls in there somewhere. Maybe God's using the things that excite you to be used for his purposes, right? Crazy thing is, when I look at the River Church and I look at every ministry that we have at the church, it was truly born out of somebody who was stirred up. It was really stirred up. I mean, you look back at the 30 people we had at day one, I'm gonna be honest, I don't know how many artisans we had. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna be real. I don't know how many artisans we had. We had people who were stirred in their heart, who wanted to build a community of people that will welcome in a broken world. And it was a bunch of folks who were stirred up. Now they become artisans, right? And now it's awesome. But I'm just telling you, we're looking for people who are stirred by God. What stirs you? Where's your heart? What stirs you? What excites you? God can use that. And we realize at the River Church that sometimes finding your craft is the hardest thing to do. Especially if you're sitting there like, I don't know what I do. I don't know what stirs me up. But what I do know is that at the church, what we try to do through like River University and through Deeper is we believe, one, that you're made to worship God. We believe that you are called by God. And we believe that God has given you a gift. And we want to know what that is. We want to see it happen. We want to be there when them Nike shoes on Michael Jordan's feet dunk from the free throw line. We want to be there. That's why we have all of these ministries, and that's why we have these opportunities for you to serve at the River, is because we want to be there when that happens. Why? Because amazing things happen when you meet your purpose that God has given you. God does incredible things. We see it every Sunday. We see it throughout the week. We see it every week. I'm telling you, God can use you to do incredible, incredible things. Amen? Amen. I'm going to pray for us. The band's going to come out. My prayer for you today is that if you're somebody who has been living this life and asking the question, why am I here? That I pray that today, one, you heard that God loves you, that God cares for you, that you have a purpose in him, that you're made to worship, that you're not just floating around in this life, born to die. That's not it. That there's much more to this life, that God is calling you to a purpose, and that he's gifted you. I pray that you start your journey today following him, chasing after him, trying to determine what those gifts and crafts are and get to work. That's my prayer. That's my prayer. I pray today that you discover your purpose. Let's pray. God, we're just grateful, God, that you are our maker, that we are just your product, that we don't determine our purpose, because if we did, we'd be all jacked up. But God, you determined our purpose, and our purpose is to worship you, God. And how do we do that? God, you've called us. You've given us a job to do. Not only that, I'm standing in front of a group of people who have skills and gifts and talents. And God, you're calling us to use those for your kingdom, to live a holy life, God, to love other people and to point people to you. And I pray today, God, that if there was anybody who's considered believing the lie that they are worth nothing, that they have no purpose in this life, I pray, God, that your words of peace and truth infiltrate their mind and begin to fix that thought, fix that idea. God, and I pray from here forward, God, that every person that's here, God, every person that's watching online who has been asking the question, why am I here, God, discovers their purpose. You have a great and wonderful purpose for us. You've created every one of us, and you know us by name. And God, we're grateful. I pray all of this in Christ's name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.